Let's read together Job chapter 15. In this chapter, we begin the second cycle of dialogues between Job and his three would-be counselors. Here in chapter 15, we have the second speech of Eliphaz. Let's begin by reading the first six verses. Job chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "Should a wise man answer with empty knowledge and fill himself with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk or by speeches with which he can do no good? Yes, you cast off fear and restrain prayer before God. For your iniquity teaches your mouth, and you choose the tongue of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you, and not I. Yes, your own lips testify against you." Let's begin our study of this chapter in Job with some background notes. Remember, the simple outline of Job that we are using is as follows. Chapters 1 and 2, disasters of Job. Chapters 3 through 41, dialogues with Job. And chapter 42, deliverance for Job. We've just completed the first round or cycle of the dialogues between Job and his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Now here in chapter 15, we begin the second round, which will continue through chapter 21 of Job. Now in this second cycle, Job's would-be counselors do not change their basic argument that all personal suffering is because of personal sin, and therefore Job must be hiding some personal secret sins because Job is suffering. The only difference between the first round and the second round of dialogues is that Job's three friends show less courtesy and less respect for Job in the second round than in the first round. They show no mercy in their judgment of Job. In fact, we can sense hostility in their conversations with Job. Job, meanwhile, stubbornly maintains his position that he is not suffering because of personal sin. He doesn't know why God is allowing this suffering, but it is not because Job is hiding some secret sin. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for Job chapter 15. So doctrinal point number one. In his second speech, Eliphaz fires questions at Job in order to shame Job. In his second speech, Eliphaz fires questions at Job in order to shame Job. Verses 1 through 16. We see in these verses a series of rapid-fire questions that Eliphaz directs at Job in order to challenge and ridicule and shame Job. In his first question, in verses 2 and 3, Eliphaz likened Job's words to nothing but hot air, like the hot east wind off the desert called the Sirocco. "Thus Job's words carried no weight and were not profitable," said Eliphaz. Eliphaz goes on in verses 4 through 6 to accuse Job of irreverence and crafty hypocrisy. "Job," said Eliphaz, "no judge is needed. Your own lips condemn you." In verses 7 through 10, the accusing questions of Eliphaz continue. In these questions, Eliphaz accuses Job of both arrogance and ignorance. Let's read these verses. Job chapter 15, beginning now with verse 7. "Are you the first man who was born, or were you made before the hills? Have you heard the counsel of God? Do you limit wisdom to yourself? What do you know that we do not know? What do you understand that is not in us? Both the gray-haired and the aged are among us, much older than your father." Verses 7 through 10. Notice how in verse 10, Eliphaz claims that he and the others were wiser than Job because they were older. Let's read verses 11 through 13, where we have more of Eliphaz's accusing questions of Job. Job chapter 15, beginning now with verse 11. "Are the consolations of God too small for you, and the words spoken gently with you? Why does your heart carry you away, and what do your eyes wink at, that you turn your spirit against God and let such words go out of your mouth?" Verses 11 through 13. In these verses, Eliphaz wrongly claims that Job was turning against God because he was rejecting the gentle counsel of Eliphaz and the others. Well, number one, their counsel was not gentle. And number two, their counsel wasn't from God, as we've seen. In verses 14 through 16, Eliphaz questions Job's claim of innocence. How could Job, as a fallen human being, make such a claim when even heavenly angels had sinned? Let's read these verses. Job chapter 15, beginning now with verse 14. What is man that he could be pure, and he was born of a woman that he could be righteous? If God puts no trust in his holy ones, and the heavens are not pure in his sight, how much less man, who is abominable and filthy, who drinks iniquity like water? Verses 14 through 16. So that we see in his second speech, Eliphaz fires questions at Job in order to shame Job. Doctrinal point number two. In his second speech, Eliphaz reminds Job of the fate of the wicked in order to scare Job. In his second speech, Eliphaz reminds Job of the fate of the wicked in order to scare Job. Verses 17 through 35. First of all, notice in verses 17 through 19 that Eliphaz is claiming as his authority his own observations as before, and also now the wisdom of the ages. Let's read verses 17 through 19. I will tell you, hear me. What I have seen, I will declare. What wise men have told, not hiding anything received from their fathers, to whom alone the land was given, and no alien passed among them. Verses 17 through 19. What Eliphaz means in verse 19 is that the wisdom of their ancestors went back before any alien philosophies got mixed in. Philosophies which Job had probably swallowed, as far as Eliphaz was concerned. Now in verses 20 through 35, Eliphaz enumerates the terrible troubles and judgments that come upon the sinner, again implying that Job is suffering because of his personal sin. The wicked suffer pain and die prematurely. Verse 20, the wicked man writhes with pain all his days, and the number of years is hidden from the oppressor. The wicked can never rest in peace. Verse 21, dreadful or terrifying sounds are in his ears. In prosperity, the destroyer comes upon him. The wicked are haunted by darkness and the threat of violence. Verse 22, he does not believe that he will return from darkness, for a sword is waiting for him. The wicked are anxious about their basic needs. Verse 23, he wanders about for bread, saying, where is it? He knows that a day of darkness is ready at his hand. The wicked are terrified at what's out there and awaits them. Verse 24, trouble and anguish make him afraid. They overpower him like a king ready for battle or attack. Now in verses 25 through 28, Eliphaz gives two reasons why these judgments come upon the wicked. Number one, rebellion, verses 25 and 26. For he stretches out his hand against God and acts defiantly against the Almighty, running stubbornly against him with his strong embossed shield. And number two, self-indulgence, verses 27 and 28. Though he has covered his face with his fatness and made his waist heavy with fat, he dwells in desolate cities, in houses which no one inhabits, which are destined to become ruins. I'm reading verses 27 and 28 from the Living Bible, which I think captures the sense of self-indulgence very well. Job chapter 15, verses 27 and 28. The wicked man is fat and rich, and has lived in conquered cities after killing off its citizens. Verses 27 and 28. Now in verses 28 through 35, Eliphaz lists seven more judgments of the wicked to scare Job into confessing his supposed life of personal sin. The wicked does not prosper. Verse 29. He will not be rich, nor will his wealth continue, nor will his possessions overspread the earth. The wicked fails and dies prematurely. Verse 30, he will not depart from darkness. The flame will dry out his branches, and by the breath of his mouth he will go away. The wicked are never satisfied or fulfilled. Verse 31, let him not trust in futile things, deceiving himself, for futility will be his reward. The wicked never really flourish. Verse 32. It will be accomplished before his time, and his branch will not be green. The wicked wither up with no hope. Verse 33. He will shake off his unripe grape like a vine, and cast off his blossom like an olive tree. The wicked experience barrenness. Verse 34. For the company of hypocrites will be barren, and fire will consume the tents of bribery. And the wicked only produce more wickedness. Verse 35. They conceive trouble and bring forth futility. Their womb prepares deceit. In this list of troubles and judgments that befall the wicked, Eliphaz is hoping to scare Job into confessing his supposed hidden sins and then get right with God. Now, Eliphaz is certainly not wrong in all that he says about the wicked, as the rest of Scripture indicates, but he is wrong in putting Job into the category of the wicked. Job is not suffering because he is a wicked person, as Eliphaz implies. In his second speech, Eliphaz reminds Job of the fate of the wicked in order to scare Job. Well, that brings us to our practical application for Job chapter 15. Don't start with the speech of Eliphaz for the truth about angels. Don't start with the speech of Eliphaz for the truth about angels. Back in his first speech, Eliphaz made a statement about angels back in Job chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. If he, that is God, puts no trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error, how much more those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before a moth. And now here in his second speech, Eliphaz makes a similar statement about angels in verses 15 and 16. If God puts no trust in his holy ones, and the heavens are not pure in his sight, how much less man, who is abominable and filthy, who drinks iniquity like water. From the Hebrew parallel structure here in verse 15, it would seem that Eliphaz is referring to angels with the term holy ones. So what is Eliphaz teaching about angels here? It sounds like he believes that the holy angels can sin today, just as people sin. Well, wait a minute, you say. I didn't think the Bible taught that about angels. It doesn't. Well, how do you harmonize that with what Eliphaz seems to be saying here? Simple answer. Eliphaz is not right in everything he says. We've already seen that Eliphaz and the others are not right in what they say about Job's suffering. Well, they are not necessarily right in other things they say as well. All of these dialogues are recorded by inspiration, of course. So we have the true record of what Eliphaz said about angels, but not necessarily what is true about angels. To learn what the Bible teaches about angels, don't depend on the faulty theology of Job's three counselors. Go to other scriptures, including the first two chapters of Job, where the inspired writer is teaching the truth about angels. Don't start with the speech of Eliphaz for the truth about angels.